We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I got my Hawk Harrelson clock, and I thank the White Sox for sending it my way, because it made my day when I saw that it was in my mailbox. And I put it out on Instagram, at Lawrence W. Holmes, if you want to go check it out. There's a lot of other stuff in there, too. It's the Bernstein and Gall Show. I'm Lawrence sitting in for Jay. Dan's here, and he's wondering what I'm going to talk to him about.
I don't know, because when it comes to the Hawk Harrelson alarm clock and strawberry alarm clock, I'm just not – no, thank you.
I'm not going to use it. I just wanted to have it because it's a cool team giveaway item. So, you know, I bought the season ticket package this year.
Okay.
I'm doing weekends. I think I have 32 games total with weekends and a couple of day games when Mel gets out of school at the end of June to go to, right? And I looked and I saw that the 13th was one of the days I had tickets for. And I was like, Hawk Harrelson clock day. Going to make sure there were two giveaways this year that I wanted to be a part of. The clock and the Sox fleece that they gave out earlier in April. And so it got me to thinking, by the way, shout out to Mike Toomey and Channel 9. They did a hilarious take on the Hawk Harrelson clock this morning.
They've gotten a lot of press out of it. I will say that Brooks had a very keen sense of nationally, locally, they've gotten a ton of publicity.
So here's what it made me think about today. I was sitting there talking with Shep. We were going through this. And I want to know, and we would love to have your input on this. What's a team giveaway item? Something you got to be the first 10,000 or 20,000 or whatever that you plan, that you said, I got to have this. I have to have this item that they're giving away.
But in today's day and age, don't you know it's going to be available on eBay no matter what?
Yes, but you can get it for free if you go to the game.
Yeah, but you don't. But then you got to pay to go to the game.
Yeah, but it's
either way. You're balancing. You know, you can get it if you really want it, Jimmy Cliff.
But if you end up, if there's a market for it to go in the secondary market, then you're probably going to pay more, and you also don't get the joy of going to watch a baseball game or a hockey game or a basketball game.
See, the Blackhawks have been nice enough. Every month they drop off all of their giveaways for the month in a bag,
so you don't have to wait.
Well, and now my kids are over it. My son's just got way too much sports crap, and we're cutting back on it rather. So I usually give it away. Like, you know, my guy Home Less always gets a nice scarf or a Blackhawks cap. If you see my guy on the bridge down here in Blackhawks stuff, it comes from them. But he's, you know, some things are practical. The bobbleheads we're well beyond bobbleheads now. But the toothbrush holder is okay.
The Hawk clock could be practical. It's I actually have a wind up alarm clock just in case, you know, the power goes out or whatever. Like, you want to make sure you have something that's not connected to the power. So for me, like, it could sit right next to the same clock that looks almost identical to it. But I'm just curious, was there ever a thing, Dan, when you were younger where you said, I'm going and I gotta have
this? No, because it wasn't publicized in the same way. There were a lot of things where you would just show up and say, oh, they're giving away these. That's pretty cool. I remember being at a Bulls game, and Schick was handing out shave kits, like a zippered, like a DOP kit with all sorts of Schick products inside. And I had the thing forever. I had it forever. It was this little like a nylon sort of shaving kit, perfect travel size shaving kit. And I just had it. And I guess that's a different question. What is a giveaway
that you just kept?
Maybe even not consciously. It just happened to be like, oh, there's that sweatshirt again. That's this sponsored, like some team giveaway that never left your life. Maybe it is a toothbrush holder. Maybe it's something that is still like, oh, yeah, I remember where I got that.
I kept thinking about going to games when I was younger and looking forward to the mini bats, And just like,
because souvenir bat.
Yeah. Cause like that was a weapon. Like the, I was like, yeah, I want that thing. Cause I, as soon as I get it in my hands, my brother's going to get hit with this thing.
The problem with souvenir bats is you immediately want to find something to whack with it.
To hit.
That's sort of my,
it's a whacking
that's
stick.
I've got a theory about certain things that ask to be thrown. Like, if you pick up, I find this with, like, if I'm looking over Roma tomatoes in the grocery store, sometimes you get one that is just the right balance or shape or feel that you just want to chuck it at something.
Stress balls are like that for me. If someone will hand me, like, a sports-themed stress ball.
Like at the auto show, we're throwing them at children.
And I just absolutely want to chuck it someplace. So, give us, either way you want to go on this, 312-644-6767, a team giveaway that you looked forward to, or a team giveaway that you got and you were like, this thing is still in my house.
It just became a part of your life for some reason. This 815 says, I still use a White Sox nylon lunchbox from the 1990s. So yeah, what's the one that's lasted the longest? For me, it was that Bulls Schick shaving kit that was it fit a need in my life at just the right time.
Sure.
Now I go back long enough. I'm not going to play the I'm the old enough to remember guy, but I'm going to Bat Day. And I don't mean souvenir bat.
You
day.
Mean full-grown bat. Like they were giving away bats.
I mean Comiskey Park, Adirondack Company, bat. Like 30-inch long bat with a blue ring just above the grip. And at my age, that's what I was.
How old were you?
Oh, boy, it was the late 70s. Yeah, so 10, 11 around there. And welcome to the Comiskey
Park.
Here's
a bat.
Here's your terrier ticket, and I hand you a bat. Now go have three little kings. All right. This is great. Thanks for the bat.
Back in the yards.
Barry in Rogers Park, you're on the score.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember one year in the early 70s, I was about 10 or 11, getting an all-blue bat.
Like full size.
Yeah, full size. And then, last year as an adult, I had to have this Chris Sale bobblehead. Had to have it.
I agree. The Chris Sale bobblehead thing, I think is one of those things where you go, okay, I'm going to make sure that I'm there. Like they did a Star Wars themed one at Sox last year where Adam Eaton's dressed up like a Jedi. Went and got it, even though I don't like Adam Eaton.
This is just look at these texts. Rockford Expo's disappearing money piggy bank, where the money pretty much just falls behind a mirror.
Small Chicago Bulls drawstring bag giveaway that I keep my hooping shoes. My hooping
shoes. Your hooping shoes.
I love that you use that term.
Look at this. Blackhawks phone case. iPhone case, 5 years, most durable I ever had.
Someone tweeted me a picture of themselves in a Cubs luchador mask.
This is the 815. I've carried my umpiring gear in my Rockford Ice Hogs giveaway gym bag for years.
That's what this whole thing made me think of, that there are just some times where you're like, I'm getting that thing. And that's what Saturday is. I know Sox fans that are entirely too excited about getting that Hawk Harrelson alarm clock, and damn it, they should be. Do it.
Here's Thomas on the score. Hello, Thomas.
Hello.
So what is it for you, Thomas?
Dude, in like 95, I was a child at the old Comiskey, and they gave away a full-on bat.
95 wasn't the old.
It was U.S. Cellular.
Yeah, that was new Comiskey.
Oh, no. Well, it was definitely at the old stadium then, because it had to be one of the last years there, but they gave away a full bat. And the weirdest thing was, in the game, statistically, the Sox won on a no, but they didn't get a hit.
Oh, that's the Andy Hawkins no-hitter. Against the Yankees. Yeah, that was against the Yankees. That was a Jim Leyritz dropped the ball in the outfield.
Yes, and they gave us a full-on black bat that my dad still has this day, like hanging in the room.
Yeah, that's a famous game. That was the Andy Hawkins no-hitter that he lost, and that was actually called on 670 WMAQ at the time, doing the play-by-play of that game? It's a trivia question. Who did radio play-by-play of that game?
Don Drysdale.
Ron Gleason.
Did he really?
Yep. Yep.
Hmm. Someone said they have a Stacey King talking bobblehead.
No, that's Stacey.
Is Stacey shows up at your house?
Yeah, Phil is next on the score. Hi, Phil.
Hey, fellas. So it was the year after the White Sox won the World Series. Second game of the season, they handed out World Series replica rings, and I had to have one. Called in sick for work, stood in line an hour before the gates opened, went in. And when the lady held out my hand at the gate after I showed my ticket, she, by mistake, dropped two of them in my hand. I said, yes, one for me, one for eBay.
That's messed up.
Well,
the replica ring thing, I mean, I know that there are a lot of Cubs fans that are like, I'm getting a replica ring. You best believe I'm getting that replica ring.
John in Shorewood, you're on the score. Hi, John.
Oh, hey, guys. Hey, back in 08, I went to a Bears game and, not necessarily, this is something I had to have, but they were giving away these really cool gloves that had, like, the Bear logo on the top side, and on the palm they had, the Chicago, the C. And I still have them to this day. I use them, like, when I do, like, cold weather running outside, and that was back in 08, so I still have them. They weren't the best quality, but they definitely lasted.
Thanks, John.
Cool.
And speaking of the Bears, got some Bears news right here. According to the Chicago Bears Twitter account, the Bears are tweeting, we have released wide receiver Eddie Royal and waived offensive lineman Cornelius Edison, fullback Paul Lasique.
Paul Lasique in the USA! Paul Lasique in the USA!
And defensive lineman Will Sutton. Now, former Bears, Eddie Royal, Cornelius Edison, Paul Lasique, and Will Sutton.
Man, those draft grades for Phil Emery getting worse and worse.
Yep. Well, but that was a different system, too.
I know.
Will Sutton was a three technique for a 40 front. And
a small and undersized three technique for a 40 front.
Northwest side, this is Pete. He's on the score. Hello, Pete.
Hey, how are you doing? This one goes back to a long time ago in Old Comiskey Park. The 1 year Ron Santo played for the White Sox. It was the craziest game because it was against the Tigers. And first off, Santo hit an inside the park home run because the left fielder hit his head on the wall way in the corner. But later on in the game, the bases were loaded and Ron Santo had an error. And about 18,000 people threw their red and white seat cushions on the field. So the game got delayed forever. But I kept mine and my mom used that seat cushion for bingo for over 25 years.
That's quality stuff right there, Pete.
The detail. It's mom's bingo cushion.
Shep, were you able to find out anything on souvenir bat night or bat night? Because we were trying to figure out, do teams even do them anymore?
Well, I've dug through a couple promotional schedules, and I've seen like the Yankees have bat day. But with that, I can't tell if it's a wooden bat, if it's a plastic bat that is just painted Yankee blue, like navy blue. It's the picture is not telling of what kind of bat this is, but they definitely have a bat day. It's Sunday, June 11th against the Orioles.
All right, well,
there's 10,000 fans, 14 and younger.
There was an incident at one. Was it Cleveland years ago? Cleveland, the mid 70s. There was some incident where they combined like 10-cent beers with bat night.
Yeah, it didn't turn out well.
No, that was not really a good idea.
Shep, what was the one that you had? Was
probably
it the Blackhawks?
Like 09 or 2010 when Sidney Crosby and the Penguins were here. It was, I actually went with Steve Goffman, Jay Zawoski, I don't know who, somebody else was with us too, I forget who, and it was construction hat night, and so Jonathan Toews had two goals, he scored a third, everyone throws the hat on the ice, it gets reviewed and overturned, he scores another goal, so it was like two times of getting to see all the construction hats that didn't fly as well as they should have. So you're just seeing people from the rafters chuck these things.
And getting hit in the
smoking
head.
Smoking people in the 100 section.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best giveaway I've seen.
This segment has been brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
Ah, someone texted in and said there was bat day over at the cell 2 years ago, but you got them as you left the park. Ah.
So go out in the parking lot and attack Bill Simonson or whatever you got to do. As long as we have no liability here, that is definitely one where you went to the lawyers and the lawyers are like, yeah, no. Let's give them, you know, head it out. You can go to the parking lot.
Right.
As soon as they're off our property.
So here's our plan. We're going to give the first 10,000 kids, well, how do they get into the game? Well, their parents will be there with them. We're going to give them bats. Yeah, you're going to give them bats as they walk out. That's what you're going to do.
He's Lawrence Holmes in for Jason Goff. I am Dan Bernstein of the Bernstein and Goff Show. Bottom of the hour, Kelly Krull of CSN is going to join us. Talk about Cubs and things on the score. No thanks. And the You Gotta Be Bleeping Me, I guess, did not make the cut.
Yeah, I was really, like, that should be the number one thing as far as I'm concerned. I wish they had that.
So that night in Cleveland that I was talking about.
Okay.
I want to thank a listener for sending a Bleacher Report article recapping June 4th, 1974. It was not Bat Day, but this is what happened. Briefly, I want to read this to you.
Okay.
10-cent beer night, Cleveland Indians. The club intended to offer as much 8-ounce Strohs as fans could drink for 10 cents a pop.
Which is always a terrible idea.
Okay, some background before they played the Rangers. 6 days earlier, there was a bench-clearing brawl between the teams at Arlington Stadium. In the fourth inning of that game, Tom Grieve was walked. Lenny Randle hit a single. Then a ball was hit to Indians third baseman John Lowenstein, who stepped on third through to second. Play disrupted by a hard slide from Randle. Milt Wilcox, the pitcher for Cleveland, retaliated by throwing the ball behind Randle's head. Randle bunted as Wilcox retrieved the ball and tried to tag him. Randle forearmed him. John Ellis punched Randle. It was a brawl that featured Texas fans pouring beer on the Indians players. Okay, on to 10-cent beer night. Early in the game, Rangers had a 5-1 lead. The intoxicated crowd continuously misbehaved. This included a woman running onto the Indians on deck circle and flashing her breasts and trying to kiss the umpire, a naked man running onto the field and sliding into second base as Grieve hit his second home run of the game. Think about this in the Twitter era, okay? Think about this happening now.
So this is their disco demolition.
Yes. Think about this happening now, okay? A father and son ran into the outfield and mooned the fans in the bleachers.
Their last name is Legui.
This is one
game. At least
they
didn't punch the first base
coach. This is all in one game now. We've got naked man. We have woman flashing her breasts, trying to kiss the umpire. The ugliness of the game took a turn for the worse when LaRon Lee of Cleveland hit a line drive that hit Rangers pitcher Ferguson Jenkins in the stomach, causing him to fall to the ground. The upper deck of Municipal Stadium chanted, hit him again, harder, harder. Fans continued to cause problems as the game continued, throwing hot dogs, spitting at Mike Hargrove, and firing fireworks at the Texas dugout.
Come on.
Hargrove was then almost hit by a gallon jug of Thunderbird. In the bottom of the ninth, Cleveland tied the game at 5. However, after 9 innings of consuming amazing amounts of alcohol, the situation took another turn for the worse. In the ninth, a fan tried to steal Rangers player Jeff Burrows' hat. Confronting the fan, Burrows tripped and fell to the ground. Texas manager Billy Martin, believing Burrows was attacked, charged onto the field with his players right behind him, some wielding bats. But most of the intoxicated fans had knives, chains, and portions of the stadium seats that they had ripped off. Ken Aspromonte, the manager of the Indians, realizing some of the Rangers players' lives were in danger, told his players to grab bats and help them out. Rioters then began throwing folding chairs, one of which hit Cleveland reliever Tom Hilgendorf in the head. Hargrove was involved in a fist fight with a fan, had to fight another one while making his way back to the dugout. Among those involved was Rusty Torres, who was on second base at the time of the riot and was the winning run. Torres already had brawl experience, having been in the brawl during the Yankees-Senators game, which was the Senators' last in Washington. Bases were stolen and never returned. Rioters pelted the players with cups, rocks, bottles, hot dogs, batteries, popcorn containers, and the folding chairs. Joe Tate and Herb Score, who called the game on Indians radio, noted the lack of police protection, and a riot squad eventually showed up and ended the brawl. Umpire Nestor Shylak called the game a forfeit in favor of Texas. Shylak himself had been cut in the head with a stadium seat, also suffered a cut on his hand from a flying rock. Lee McPhail, the AL president, said there was no question that beer played a part in the riot.
There's something I want to add to this story, and shout out to the texter who sent this to me. There was a very famous and respected newsman at that game that night. I'll share with you after Zach's done with his scoreboard update.
And by the way, I should mention, Kelly Krull is still on her plane, so she's going to join us at 4:30 instead. Caller 6 right now to the contest line at 312-591-6700 wins a $50 Sherry's Berries gift certificate. Mother's Day is right around the corner. Time to spoil mom with a decadent gourmet-dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99. Don't wait. Go to berries.com. Order now.
How we got down this weird road is we were talking about the Hawk Harrelson alarm clock giveaway that the White Sox are going to do Saturday over on the south side, and Dan told the story of 10-cent beer night in Cleveland. This story, adding to this, from the Buffalo News. The anniversary of 10-cent beer night that went terribly but not surprisingly wrong at Cleveland Stadium recently passed. Looking at a retrospective of the crazy 1974 night on Cleveland.com brought a Buffalo connection to the surface. More on that in a bit. The promotion backfired on the Indians, who had to forfeit the baseball game to the Texas Rangers as fans stormed the field and both teams were forced to retreat to the safety of their respective clubhouses. The crowd also littered the playing field with a variety of objects. Among those in attendance was Buffalo-born 24-year-old Tim Russert.
Oh, wow.
Who attended law school at Cleveland State after graduating from John Carroll University. Retired sports writer Dan Coughlin recalled to Michael Heaton, quote, "The late Tim Russert was there that night. When asked how many beers he drank, he said that he had $2 with him and then said, 'You do the math.'"
Yeah, even I can do that math.
Oh, man. Offerman, he said, went on to say, "Offerman Stadium was unbelievable. You were so close to the field. People used to sit on the roofs." And he's talking about the place in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They gave him a bobblehead night posthumously, a Tim Russert bobblehead night. So that's something you want. And he's just holding up the thing that says Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo. So that kind of brings us full circle. But I love the idea. Do you know how many great stories? I mean, I know you have your own. Great stories of sports and news people when they were young and the things that we've done and are some of them are doing right now. That'd be a good list.
Yeah, places that you happen to have been, yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, things only, that you've seen.
Well, the only thing that came close to that for us was when we used to go to Durham Bulls games in college at the old DAP, the Durham Athletic Park. And that's when they were still a Carolina League team before they became a Triple-A team and built the massive facility they have now. I mean, it really, because I was there at a time where the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill-Cary area was just beginning to explode in size as far as the actual sheer market size. And it was, you know, kind of a sleepy little tobacco town. And it's the old building you see in the movie Bull Durham is where they played. And they would do, is it Friday nights, if you showed your Duke student ID, you get dollar beers. And they weren't the 8 ounces either. They were 16-ounce beers for a buck, whatever you wanted. So we'd drink Natural Light, and we'd play beer an inning. And you had, you know, it was by the time you had 9 of those in 3 hours, ready to start your evening.
My 30th birthday was spent in New Orleans. And it was great. My best friend, Kim, she went with me. We had a great time, and we ended up at a New Orleans Zephyrs game. I want to say they were the Triple-A affiliate for the Angels back then. Thirsty Thursdays, dollar beers. Don't remember much of what happened after that. I just know that she was like, "Is it Thirsty Thursday?" And they were like, "Yeah." They're like, "What's that?" Like, "Well, beers are a dollar." And we just had everything you needed right there. Beer and baseball and not spending a lot of money.
A little Abita Turbo Dog. Was it Abita or Abita? I always forget how to pronounce it.
I thought it was Abita.
Is it Abita? Yeah, that's what everybody was drinking down there when I was there.
It was insane. Insane.
So Sahadev Sharma is going to talk Cubs just after 4 o'clock. I've been talking about their struggles. We are going to have Kelly Krull on around 4:30. But Theo Epstein was on. You're going to hear that in its entirety after 5. And that is, you've got to hear what the Cubs president says in his assessment of where the team is currently, about excuses, about what's valid, about what's not, about what they have to do. But I get back to what we had discussed about being tired, because there's a lot of that. There's a lot of talk about whether or not they, you know, how long they played into the fall and how everything gets started and how this is their April was really like everybody else's March. And I don't know, though, because then I think about, like, does that make their outfield defense bad? Does that make Jake Arrieta's cutter lose its feel?
I think with pitching especially, there's the opportunity for that. I played it earlier this week. Last year, I had a conversation with John Lester of spring training about this, on because he had gone through this before with Boston, where you have shortened off seasons. And he talked about how you have to be smart about how your off season goes after a long postseason. That maybe it means instead of a week of throwing that you ordinarily do, it then becomes a week of stretch. So I think that when you look at, I think it is a valid excuse for, especially for the pitchers, but it's a valid excuse for all of those guys that have never really been here before. When you start looking at the compound inning load that Jake Arrieta has had over the last two seasons, and we talked with Jake the first week. You know he's Mr. All Go, like 100% go. I wonder if he didn't heed advice of guys like John Lester. It was like, I'm going to go do whatever the thing it is that I do.
And that results in him not really appreciating the toll that some of this has taken?
It clearly, I mean, look at the innings jump Jake Arrieta has taken from his days in Baltimore to what he's done as a Cub. I think that makes sense to me. It makes sense to me that guys are emotionally wrecked after winning the World Series. As gleeful as that made every Cub fan, it makes sense to me that they're maybe spent a little bit and it's going to take time. That's why at the beginning of the season, one of the things I asked you about was when is it that we stop even hearkening back to talking about the World Series, and that in 2 weeks into the series, there were still celebrations.
Yeah, but it's,
there were still all these things that they had to emotionally get themselves
up for. That's why
I'm
gauging your assessment of the validity of it as a reason. You can call it an excuse, use whatever word you want. If all of that is a valid reason for why they're not performing to their averages, then we have no choice. Then we're looking at this as something causal, saying, had you known, if somebody told you you're going to win the World Series this year and it's going to be 108 years of dreams fulfilled and that's going to happen, would you be okay with them having a flaccid first third of the next season?
And the answer is yes.
Right.
It's 100% yes.
Of course it is. But that's not the – there is another side to this, and say, look – it's Joe Maddon's job to navigate through this. That's why he's considered one of the best managers, is having the knowing the temperature of his team beforehand, understanding some of the pitfalls, preparing them mentally. And somebody else would say, you know, it's baseball. Snap out of it. Hit the ball. Catch the ball. It's 3 hours of your day.
I think that's probably going to happen. That it's more likely that it does happen than it doesn't. I don't know what the percentage would be for me. But it's okay for them to have some of this. That when you we can't on one hand talk about how important that World Series win was, how historic that World Series win was, how emotional everyone connected to the Cubs was and is about that World Series win, and then think that the players who have spent all that time playing into November, then everything else associated with them winning the World Series might not have an effect on human beings. I think that's unfair.
Yeah, I'm not taking a stand one way or the other. I just think that there is a way to say, you know, understand that this is a different team, move on. But you're a prisoner of that. Then you can't move on. You are if it's still dragging on you. If that it's causal. If it really has affected the way you're playing right now, you have to acknowledge that, and you have to realize maybe it's going to take longer to emerge as the 2017 Cubs.
Absolutely.
He's Lawrence Holmes. He's in for Jason Goff. I'm Dan Bernstein. It's the Bernstein and Goff Show. We'll talk to Sahadev Sharma at 4 o'clock on The Score. That's the Cubs' Ben Zobrist talking about the effect of fatigue. You know, Lynn Casper discussed it in the context of the 18-inning game, talking about mental fatigue that baseball players go through because of how they got to concentrate every 45 seconds the way they do in games, that it's just a different kind of fatigue that maybe hockey players or basketball players experience.
He was talking about them going into the All-Star break, right? They were 5-15 going into the All-Star break last year. Remember, was it Pittsburgh that they were taking on right before the break, where had the Pirates won that game, they would have gone into the break 3 games back instead of 5 games back?
Yeah, they the much-needed win. I forgot exactly what happened in that game, but there was a little sort of pre-All-Star break turning point there. That was when Barry Rosner was with me and Ben Zobrist was talking about that. Here is Kent in Bloomington on The Score. Hello, Kent.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Fine. We're good.
All right. Hey, I've been listening to you pretty much all afternoon. I got a rare day off from work, but you kind of touched on what has been on my mind. I think with the extended postseason and, a lot of players anymore these days, it's an all-year-round thing, man. It's not just baseball. It's spring training and baseball. And, with all the ceremonies and whatnot going on, I don't think a lot of these guys got a chance to really get. I mean, I'm sure you could say that they could make time, but I think some of these guys haven't had a chance to get into their normal off-season regimen.
And I think that might be back time too, because of how late you played and all of the other things that go along with it. And at the time, someone's going to offer you an opportunity, and this kind of goes back to some of the Dave Ross stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to offer you an opportunity in the offseason. For some of these young guys, they're not making a lot of money. So if you're given some money-making opportunities and you think, oh, you know what, it's not a big deal. I'm going to go sign autographs for 2 hours. Or, yeah, I'll take that flight to California for this award show or that. Like, all of that stuff can have an effect. And these were mostly guys who had never been through something like this before.
I know we've got Sahadev Sharma coming up just after the top of the hour, but I want to take this time to note something, and I had this written down. Last night we had our monthly board of directors meeting for Camp One Step and the Children's Oncology Services, and I heard from the person in charge of our Bank of America Chicago Marathon running team is very excited to hear that we are ahead of last year's pace when it comes to the post-close spots and putting together our running team. So I wanted to make it clear, we do have spots left, because I have had a couple people ask me, and I wanted to make sure this got out there. Apparently, one guy who signed up, who was heard about it on the show, he's a big listener, and he's like, oh, I got my $1,500 fundraising commitment already done. He wants to raise $15,000 because he didn't realize how easy it would be.
That's awesome.
To get some of these funds raised, because people who are adept with social media, little tiny bits add up in a hurry. So there's some people who say, well, I don't know about the fundraising component. It's a snap. And the thing is, we have people who can show you how to do it to facilitate all of it. So right now, if you're going to run in the Bank of America Chicago Marathon, if you want to run, if you want this opportunity, the only way to get in right now, with the lottery done and all, the only way to get in,
that's a guaranteed spot, right?
Yeah. What you get, if you want to partner with the One Step Camp for kids with cancer and leukemia, and you help the kids and be part of all of our festivities, you get guaranteed entry into the marathon. It's October 8th, 2017, and the only way to get in is through a charity. We have expert coaches, experienced runners, coaches, even if you've never run a marathon before, or if you're an experienced runner, any level of experience, we have coaches for you. All abilities, all ages, all fitness levels. You will get a personalized training program, no matter your level. You will get personal fundraising assistance and resources, and you can be a part of our post-race party and have all of the support that we give you with our campers involved and all of our volunteers and everybody. It makes for a terrific race day. And the most important thing is that you get to run to help all of our programs that help make kids with cancer as happy as they can possibly be and let them experience the simple joys of childhood. So if you want information, here's what you can do. There's several things you can do. You can go to onestepcamp.org and just click on the link to Team One Step. You can go to @onestepcamp on Twitter. You can send a note to me however you want. You can send it to me at Bernstein and Goff at 670thescore.com. You can send it to me via my Twitter at Dan_Bernstein, even if you want to send a text. I will personally get you in touch with the people that you need if you want to join our marathon team. It's a great day for the best cause. We've got a lot of returning runners, but we're open to anybody who says, yep, this year I'm going to do it. So take this chance to do it. Go to onestepcamp.org or get in touch with me, and I will make sure that you have the hookup. You're going to find out all you need to know, the latest on the Cubs from Zahadev Sharma of The Athletic, next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.